Jason, what's the latest development in affected areas and what's the current situation over there?
In the East Africa region, there are two crucial areas of hunger that are going to remain in the news in the coming months. The first is in an area in South Sudan. The state is known as Unity State, and it's where the UN system last week declared a famine that's affecting several thousand people who simply don't have access to food. Now, your listeners may recall that South Sudan has seen heavy violence since late 2013. And this violence has forced communities to run for their lives frequently, to leave their homes and hide away from the fighting. And of course, when you're hiding from the fighting, you're not able to plant your crops or harvest your crops. And the people who run markets, who run businesses, can't bring crops into the region. And because this has been happening for so long, all the people that live here have faced a food shortage. And over time, this food shortage really starts to, the body starts to deteriorate and waste away. So the hunger situation that has been building for the last several years is now reaching a peak with this declaration. But what we know on the ground beyond the declaration, that there are many thousands of people who simply don't have enough food to eat.
Now, Jason, it's been several years now since we last heard of a famine anywhere in the world. Why now? And what are the causes of this famine, especially in the areas that you mentioned?
So the last famine declaration that the world saw was in 2011 in Somalia. This is now the first one in 6 years. And this is a UN declaration, not a Red Cross declaration. But what we see on the ground supports the message that there are so many people in need. And the cause is the accumulation of years of fighting, accumulation of years of residents, of families not getting enough nutrients into their body. The International Committee of the Red Cross, since 2014, has been using airplanes to drop food into this region, into Unity State, around the town of Lair. It's a unique operation. We don't do it anywhere else in the world, and it should underscore how dire the situation is and how much those people are in need. It's quite an operation to see dozens and dozens and dozens of boxes of food dropping from the sky. You would not think that we would need to do it in this day and age, but South Sudan doesn't have a good road network. It's the only way to get food in. And though we provide as much as we can, there are communities that still don't have access to the assistance, and these are the people in now facing the worst of the situation.
As you mentioned, the world is mobilizing to help the affected people, and I know that the International Red Cross organization is actively involved in this. Is there more that the ICRC is doing apart from the food drops?
Yes, we take different steps to try to assist communities in need. As you said, it's not just food, but we also hand out farming tools and seeds in the hopes that people who are in stable regions can plant. Of course, you have to have seeds in order to plant food. And if you've missed a harvest or you've missed two harvests, then you don't have those seeds and you can't go to the market and buy them because they're not available. So we bring those in the hopes that people can get back on their feet and start farming for themselves. And given that the fighting is still ongoing, we have three surgical teams out in the field, and they're providing life-saving care for people who suffer directly from the fighting. These are people who may come in with a gunshot wound. And sometimes they're people that come in, with a pregnancy or some other health illness, and because of the fighting, there's just not enough health care, and we help to provide that.
Now, you've touched on some of the work that you're already doing to help those who are affected, and the Australian Red Cross has launched an appeal for funds to aid in the humanitarian effort. What are some of the items which are needed urgently, if we could put it that way?
Well, in this region, there's lots of needs, and we work in several different areas because of this. The families that are living there don't have enough to eat, so that's one obvious need. Many of them need health care. Even clean drinking water for many communities is difficult. Now, this is South Sudan that we're talking about. I'd like to transition to another country in the region, in the East Africa region, and that's Somalia. Although the famine declaration was made in South Sudan, Somalia is facing very similar conditions and could face its own famine declaration later in the year. Just last week, and let's say last 2 weeks, the International Committee of the Red Cross distributed food for 140,000 people in Somalia. Somalia is facing a severe drought. The situation is slightly different, whereas you might say that the hunger situation in South Sudan is a direct result of the fighting and thus man-made. In the case of Somalia, it's nature that is harming their chances for a good agricultural harvest, and hundreds of thousands of people there probably later this year will be facing even more severe food needs there. And now, of course, as you mentioned previously, the last famine in the world before the South Sudan one was in Somalia in 2011. And we're working, and I know that a lot of the humanitarian agencies are focused on Somalia for the large needs that are present there and for the hunger and drought situation that could continue to get worse later this year.
Now, for any of our listeners who are perhaps keen to get involved in assisting in any way they can, is there a phone number or a website they can check out and get information on where to reach out?
Your listeners are welcome to come to our website. That's www.icrc.org. We have information on our activities in South Sudan, information on our activities in Somalia, as well as the needs that are present there. And the ICRC and the larger Red Cross family does accept donations. If that is something your listeners would be interested in assisting, that money would go to providing food for those in need. In Somalia in particular, we drill boreholes, that's wells for water, for both livestock and for families, because, of course, if the livestock die, then the family loses that asset that can either be traded or eaten. And additionally, healthcare activities, both from Somalia and South Sudan. So that's where that money does go. Very real needs, very good causes in East Africa.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for sharing that information with us. And we definitely hope that many people reach out and provide the help that's needed to get people out of this situation.
Thanks very much to you and to your listeners for your interest in this. These two very key, let's say, needs and potential disasters in East Africa.